Amen, Lord. Right, Father, we pray for a spirit of wisdom and revelation.
Amen.
To have the eyes of a heart enlightened, to know the exceeding great power, the power that raised Christ from the dead.
Amen.
And seated him in the heavenlies, far above all. We pray that we will learn to enjoy the feast of the first fruits.
Amen.
To know the power of this wonderful resurrection.
Amen.
Oh, to really enjoy it in this wonderful feast.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. This indeed is a wonderful feast. It's wonderful because it is the goal, the result of this wonderful work of Christ. If you look at the whole picture, you can really see that when the Lord came to this earth, of course, our concept is just he died for us. Oh, that my sins will be forgiven. Because we are very conscious of our fallen condition, right? But in God's plan, it is not just redemption. In God's plan, it is to gain a first fruit, the firstborn from the dead, because this is the final result of the wonderful work of Christ. You need to see this. Because if you don't see this, you will just get stuck on the cross and say, thank you, Lord, you died for me. Thank you, Lord, you suffered. Thank you, Lord, you redeemed me. Thank you, Lord, you paid a price. Thank you, Lord, for the ransom. Oh, you went through all these sufferings, all for my sake. Well, which is true. I'm not saying this is wrong. But you need to see it didn't end there. It had a wonderful, glorious end, which is what? The resurrection from the dead. So in Colossians, you can really say Christ is the firstborn from the dead. You need to appreciate this. And that is for the sake of the church. Let us read Colossians chapter 1. When Christ as the firstborn from the dead is mentioned, it is always actually related to the church, right? After mentioning so many things about Christ in Colossians chapter 1, then we go to verse 18. Right? Because he's the firstborn of all creation, meaning to say the old creation. And now he's talking about the new creation. And he is the head of the body. Really wonderful. The church. Let's read it together. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. Amen. Is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning. Praise the Lord. Is the beginning of the new creation, of course. Right? Christ is the beginning of the old creation, but even much more so, he is the beginning of the new creation. Now, you tell me, how is the new creation brought forth? By his death on the cross? No. By his death on the cross, the old creation was what? Terminated. You're right. But is that good enough? After the old creation is terminated, that's it. Praise the Lord, there's no more old creation. And then there is nothing else. No, definitely not. Then, in resurrection, there's a new beginning. The beginning of what? The church, the new creation. This is why we are celebrating the feast of the what? First fruits in resurrection. Don't take it as a doctrine. You should see something. You should feel something. You should know that God is excited, even if you are not. I'm sorry, if you're not excited, it's okay, right? I'm not angry with you. But you have to realize God is really fully excited. Wow, in resurrection, the new creation began. He is the beginning. Beginning of what? Of a new creation, which is the church, His body. His body, the church, right? And as such, how did He do it? He became the firstborn from the dead, that in all things the Lord will have the preeminence. Right. If you tell people, don't follow men, this is right. I fully agree with you. But don't stop there. You should tell them, follow the Lamb. Follow the resurrected Christ. Follow the firstborn from among the dead. Follow the head, which is Christ. Otherwise, who are you going to follow? Sam Huang, don't follow men. So who are you going to follow? Me. We follow who? The Lamb of God. Follow the living Christ. Isn't that what we have been talking about all these years? Heaven, we said it many times, at this age, the age of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, the age of maturity, you have to follow a man.
The Lamb.
The Lamb. Unless you are the Lamb. Are you the Lamb?
No.
No. Are you? Am I? You sure? Right. So who are you going to follow? The Lamb. And these are they who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. But He is not ready yet. So I should wait for Him. I should wait for you. Because you're not going to follow the Lamb. Lamb, please wait. Wait, don't go. We have to wait for Freddy. What time is lunch today? Don't you go on time, because half of the saints are not ready to go yet. So, when do you go for lunch? When everybody is ready. What if they are not ready until tonight? So we skip lunch. The door will be closed. We'll miss the feast. You can eat the leftover, brother. We will leave some food for you. We'll put it in a bag. In the States, they have the doggy bag, right? You go together. Then you better what? Hurry. You better hurry. We all need to hurry up. Right? Otherwise, how can you hasten the coming of the Lord Jesus? Now, Peter, you're wrong. You should delay the coming of the Lord Jesus. Don't hasten, because somebody won't make it. Some people won't make it. So, Lord, please don't come, okay? You come until every virgin becomes a wise one. Otherwise, please don't come.
Then He'll never come.
Oh, it's okay. As long as we're one here. Why are you laughing?
You have to realize that, hey, drop your concept. Because if you are ready, you will influence others also to be ready. Right? If you see one fruit ripening, oh, you all need to hurry up and ripen too. Right? So may the Lord really help us to see this. Now, Christ is the firstborn from the dead, not even just for himself. But he is the firstborn from among the dead for our sake also. Right? But first of all, as the firstborn, he has to go to the Father first. Because he must take care of the Father's need. The Father must be the first one to enjoy him as the first fruit. Sorry. Not Mary, not Peter, James, John, not his beloved disciples, not the apostles. Right? You go, Mary, tell my brethren, wow, this should be really a wonderful word. If I were Mary, I said, your brethren? Who? Who? James? And Jude? Who? My brethren! Who? He says, and Peter, right? So that means all of his disciples. They all of a sudden now became the brethren of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is really a good news. Because God didn't want just to have one son designated as the Son of God. He wants many sons, and he wants to lead many sons to glory. Now tell me, how many people were raptured to the throne? In Revelation chapter 12, the whole woman was raptured to the throne. The man-child. What about among the believers on this earth? Everyone was raptured to the throne. No, only the first fruits. Right. Will you wait for me when the time of rapture comes? You should say, sorry, John, it's not a matter of waiting or not. If I go, I go. Right? You have no choice, I have no choice. Right? It's not a matter of waiting, it's a matter of whether you mature or not. Right? So, you can really see, right? The Lord, as the first fruit, must go to the Father for the Father's enjoyment. Doesn't it tell you something? Right. For the Lord Jesus, the Father is the most important. He has to be satisfied. Not you, not me, in the first place. The Father has the first place. So the Lord could not wait. The Lord has to, right on the first day of his resurrection, he must go to the Father. He cannot wait. Because it is written, the first fruit belongs to the Father for the Father's enjoyment. My, can you really imagine? The Father was expecting that. He was waiting for that. I don't know how to explain it. Right? Just like when you had your first son born. Are you just,
I'm going on vacation. Ah, Shetty, you stay here. I'm going on a cruise. Tell your wife that. Huh?
She will be mad at me.
But, you know, that's not important. The firstborn child, that's not important. Whether you're there or not, the baby's going to be born. No, 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 no. Come on, important thing is that it's born. Whether you're there or not, it doesn't matter. Why? How come it doesn't matter to me? How come it doesn't matter to him? It doesn't matter to you. How come it matters to you? Because he is the Father. Because he's the Father. Wow, when the Lord was on this earth, he was talking so much about the Father. I already told the saints, in the Gospel of John, he mentioned the Father at least 120 times. And then when he rose from the dead as the first fruit, then all of a sudden he didn't care for the Father. Then he cared so much for his disciples. He cared for Mary. He cared for his disciples. He cared for so many other things and didn't care about the Father. Do you think that's good? You judge for yourself. Did the Lord do the right thing? But during the 3.5 years, the disciples are so close to him. You think the Lord did not love the disciples? He did. So he should have gone to his disciples first. No? You sure? Who should he go to first? To the Father. You're right. Absolutely correct. If in the church life we all care for the Father, there will be no problem. Right? There will be no problem. And the Father should have the preeminence. He should firstly be satisfied. Can you imagine the church life? We don't care for the Father. Who do you care for most in the church life? Me? You care for me? You care for the Father? Right. So, may the Lord open our eyes. He has to be offered up to the Father as the first fruit. The Father must be the first one to enjoy him. This is normal. This is normal. If you and I don't even see this, I don't know what we have seen. Right. Because he's God. He's the Father. He must be the first. That's why you have a feast, a particular wonderful feast, firstly. My, this first fruit must go to the Father. Can you imagine how happy the Father was? No wonder, even before he became the first fruit, God already said it. This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. And how much more when the only begotten Son of God became the firstborn among many brethren, to rise up and go to the Father. Right? The firstborn. Are you happy when your firstborn was born? Very? Very, very, very happy. And now, can you imagine that our Heavenly Father was very, 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 very happy. Much more happier than you are. When you have your firstborn. Praise God. That's why we have to come and enjoy this wonderful feast of the first fruits. Right. Because it has something to do with you. Now let us go to the... You know, all these verses are just wonderful. You need to collect them and put them together, and you will see a marvelous picture concerning the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? Risen on the third day. The significance of resurrection, we have touched that. Becoming the firstborn from among the dead. Designated as Son of God in power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Of course, it includes his destroying and swallowing up death and him who has the power of death. And he held now and is holding the keys of Hades and of death. He conquered death and never to die again. My wonderful. And at the end of the Bible, you can see that death and Hades were thrown into the lake of fire. This is a wonderful accomplishment. This is really a wonderful accomplishment. Right? And then offered up as the first fruits to the Father immediately after being resurrected. Immediately. He didn't wait. You like to wait. I don't know why you like to wait. Do you like to wait? Oh, I have a son-in-law who is a Swiss. The Swiss are very punctual. If you're late, you'll look at the watch. How come you're 5 minutes late? You know, I got a Swiss watch. You're late. You're late. You think the Lord will let the Father wait? Tell me the truth. Will you let the Father wait? He dare not answer. I know. That's why I ask him. Because we all let the Father wait. It doesn't matter. Just another year is okay. 2 years later, even if we don't do it, it's all right. Let's wait. Huh? Don't do it. Just wait. Slowly. Take time. Take your time. Use the Nigerian clock. You will let the Father wait or not? Everybody is so quiet. Because we all know in our heart we should not let our beloved Heavenly Father wait. If you want to let him wait, it is your problem. It's not my problem. I don't want my Father to wait. You know, he's been waiting for 2,000 years now to have the true worshipers. How much longer does he have to wait? Tell me, what do you think, Ozzy? How much longer he has to wait? Doesn't matter, right? Since he already waited for 2,000 years, he might wait for another 100 years. It's okay, right? But he already waited so long. So what's the hurry? God is so patient. Isn't he patient? Huh? So the Lord Jesus could wait for another day before he could take a swim in Galilee first. You know, after coming out of the grave, I need to take a swim first in Galilee. Or in the Dead Sea to refresh myself first and rest for another day. Then if I feel like it, I'll ascend to the Father. How about that? And besides, my disciples are all not ready yet. I'll wait until Peter, James, John, at least these three favorite disciples of mine are ready. Then I'll take them with me. Isn't that better? You want to wait? Should the father be waiting? No, the father is eager to enjoy that first fruit. Don't we love the father? Don't we want to do the father's will? Isn't it better today than tomorrow? I would rather think it's better yesterday than today. I repent for being so slow to satisfy my father. Right. May the Lord have mercy. So, this last point is very wonderful, very important. Offered up as first fruits to the Father immediately after being resurrected. Don't touch me. I have to go to my Father. But also to your Father now, right? So, then you go to point C, the believers were regenerated when? How? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Wow. You really need to see this. The matter of regeneration has much to do with the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. First Peter, you know, Peter really, he's not very intellectual. And he didn't have a doctor degree. He didn't study with Gamaliel like Paul. He was not a scribe nor a Pharisee. Right? He's a fisherman. How come a fisherman can see that? Is revelation only for intellectuals? Do you see this because you are so intelligent? Huh? Are you very intelligent? I told God many times concerning heavenly things, I am a dumb. Who can see heavenly things? I cannot see. Without his mercy and grace and revelation, you think because I'm so intelligent, I'm not. Yeah, I couldn't even finish my studies. I'm a dropout. Nothing. Since when is it that only the intellectual knows the spiritual things? When Jesus was on this earth, who knew the spiritual things? Who knew Christ? The intellectual ones? Huh? No? The fishermen. Uneducated. Right? Unlearned. That's why, you know, those learned ones were surprised. How come these people who are not learned, they know so much? Right? So, it is not a matter of being intellectual or not. It is a matter of being with the Lord Jesus. It's a matter of revelation from the Lord. It's a matter of your relationship with the living Christ. So Peter really saw it. You know, if Peter didn't write that, I wouldn't know that my regeneration is through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. So when are you regenerated? When? In his resurrection. You mean to say you were regenerated 2,000 years ago? You're chosen, but regenerated. When were you born? 1948. I know because you're my brother. And so when are you regenerated? Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. It is written in Ephesians 2, you were raised together with Christ. You know, you think differently than the Bible. Right? And how can it be? Because you are baptized into Him. Because you were baptized into Him, then you, His death 2,000 years ago, although it happened 2,000 years ago, becomes your death. Because you were baptized into His death. So when did Jesus Christ die? Yesterday? The day you were baptized? When? 2,000 years ago. So you died with Christ? When? Yesterday? You died with Christ 2,000 years ago. And that's why you have Romans chapter 6. Just as you were planted and united with Him in the likeness of His death, because you were baptized into His death, so you are also united with Him in the likeness of His
resurrection.
Is that so difficult to understand? You need a PhD? No, you need to be a theologian. I don't think the theologian understands that. It's the weak people like you and me understand. Don't think I'm so strong. No, I'm not. Yeah, I'm just as weak as anybody else. We are nothing. We are really nothing. Right? So here, that's why it's written, Christ became the firstborn among many brethren. Can you imagine the day the Lord Jesus Christ rose from the dead? He called His disciples immediately brethren. That's, I don't understand that, do you? He never called them brethren, brothers before. All of a sudden when He rose from the dead, the disciples became His brethren. How did that happen? That should mean that His resurrection is not for Himself. That should mean that in His resurrection He brought all of us. Even before you were born, you were already resurrected with Him. Right. This is a mystery among all the mysteries. You know, we know John chapter 20, oh, I go to my Father, you Father, my God, you God. It's a nice doctrine, but you never stop to think why. How come? How come all of a sudden those disciples, Peter, James, John, Matthew, you know, all these people there, including Nathaniel and Philip, blah, 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 Bartholomew, they all became Jesus' brethren. The Lord Jesus is our wonderful brother. Have you ever called Him Brother Jesus? No? Never? Hardly? Ever? We all have a wonderful brother, the firstborn from among the dead, the firstborn among so many brethren, right? And because of Him, we all can become children of God. Because of Him. No, because of you in a church life, I hope you will be a pattern to encourage everyone to go on with the Lord. Amen. Paul was a pattern. And he told Timothy, be careful, you're a young man. Timothy, don't be so proud. Don't think you know everything. And you have to act very humble. And don't think you're going to be an example of the saints. Right? No, you're too young. You're very young. And for me, as a grandpa, you're always young. No. What did Paul say? Huh? A young person can be an example. You believe you can be an example? You are proud. I despise your youth. You see my gray hair? You know how old I am? How old are you?
24.
I am almost more than twice the reverse of 24. You see our concept, brothers. I like to see all of the young people becoming a pattern among the believers. Is that wrong? Am I inciting you to be against me and Opa? Right. You have to realize that, hey, no. Right. We really need to rise up. The believers, praise the Lord. Don't you have a desire to be like the firstborn son of God? Isn't this what God wants all of us to become, conforming to the image of the firstborn son? Or are you already happy that you're a son of God? No, you still need to be conformed to his image. So when do you want to be conformed to his image? ASAP. No, take your time. The Lord's not coming back so soon. Take your time. Enjoy your life. Be as you are. Right? How about that? You want your son to ripen quickly, spiritually? No, come on. Don't put pressure on him. Oh. Don't you ever put pressure on Vince, you know. Let him take his time. No? No. But it's up to you. No. Not what your parents may say, but it's up to you. Right? You're of age. You're an adult. You're already working. Right? Are you? Yeah. You need your mom to feed you? No. So you have to decide what you want to do. You want to be conformed to the image of the firstborn? It's up to you. Nobody can force you to be conformed to Christ. Then you should not sing that song, "Oh, to be like thee." Don't do that, or you're going to pressure other people who don't like this song. "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer, weaker than you." Change the song. No. Right. Christ becoming the firstborn among many brethren, and the many brethren must be conformed to the image of the firstborn Son of God. This is normal. This is normal. We all need to grow up. Right? Do you want to keep your boy as a little baby boy? No. Even if you want to, you can't. Okay? And if you force that to be, then you're imposing upon you a lot of problems. Right? Praise God. Then if you truly want to be conformed to the image of his son, what do you need to do? Keep the feast. How many feasts? Hard. It's so difficult to keep 7 feasts. I can't even keep 1. So now you want me to keep 7. Oh, you know, aren't you afraid that I might have a spiritual breakdown? Spiritual breakdown. No, the feast is there for you to enjoy. The Passover, the feast of the unleavened bread. And now you have the feast of the first fruit. Don't you want, like Paul, to know the power of his resurrection?
Amen.
Well, it's not possible. How can I rise from the dead? Well, have you not read where? Ephesians chapter 1. What is it written there? Read to me. I thought you already memorized it, but it's okay. You can read it. Yeah, and to know the exceeding greatness of his power toward Jesus Christ. No, only toward the strong ones. No, not toward everybody. Just toward the Lord Jesus Christ.
Toward us who believe.
Do you believe?
Yes.
But I don't. So you shouldn't believe. Huh? What if I don't believe? Are you going to believe? The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. My, praise the Lord. Are you a believer? Huh? Really? What kind of a believer? How many kinds of believers are there? Believe is to believe. Do you believe? Yeah, you better believe. Why? It is written. It is written. The exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe. What kind of a power is it? Read on.
According to the working of his mighty power.
How?
Which he worked in Christ.
How?
When he raised him from the dead.
What? The same power works in you?
Yes.
No, come on. What can we say? Are we believers? Are we non-believers? Or what do you believe? You choose to believe what you want to believe, right? Or don't you believe that? If you don't believe that, I don't know. I can say nothing. Right? But I believe that. Do you believe that? As a young person, do you believe that? But it's okay if you don't believe that. It does not matter. You know, it's up to you. Just believe slowly. If you cannot believe today, don't worry about it. Don't worry. You don't need to rise from the dead. Just remain dead. The wonderful, exceeding great power. Why you don't want that? God wants to give it to you. That's why we're keeping the feast. The feast is not only that Jesus Christ died on the cross. The feast is that now this power is also there for you to enjoy. And you are co-raised with him. We know how to sing that song that we just sang, but you don't believe that. And with him, you rose from the dead too. So when we are enjoying this feast there, Do you just believe, oh Lord, I thank you, praise the Lord, you rose from the dead. You're no longer in the grave, but I'm still there. Is that the celebration of the feast? How do you celebrate that feast? You should say, praise the Lord, I was risen with you from the dead. You're the firstborn now, and I am your brother. And by enjoying this feast, I am going to be conformed to your image.
Amen.
And my goal is, as yours, to enter into glory. Time is up. Sorry. But you need to learn how to enjoy this wonderful feast. Am I too much? Unreasonable. Don't you want to enjoy such a wonderful feast of the first fruit?
Amen.
I'd like to see all of us, including myself, enjoying this wonderful feast. We are nothing, but we can enjoy the feast. Amen. Do you need to be so strong to come and eat lunch today? Only the strong ones can go to have lunch in a Mandarin restaurant. No, as long as you have a stomach and an empty stomach, you're hungry, you can go. You're all invited.